This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Welcome to Greg Cody Tuesday. We will get to the college football stuff in a second because it's anarchy, it is chaos, and as fascinating as everything is there, and there is a lot of fascinating there, there is one question that I don't believe people are asking nearly enough, and I believe is being undercovered, and I believe is at the top of this mountain of mess, and that question is... who the hell is in charge? Who the hell is in charge? We will get to that in a second. It doesn't have an answer because the states have seceded from the union. Politics has seeped into everything. And it is simply crazy when we've arrived in a place, to God's, where Nick Saban is making the argument, hey, football is healthier for your kids than anything else. And it's like, what the hell are we doing?
I think for now, though, Nick Saban is in charge. I do.
You have reached an unbelievable place in terms of the state of your mental and physical health when the coaches are arguing, and they might not be wrong. Your players are healthier playing football than they are running around in our unsafe American streets.
Look, I'll admit it. I'm selfish. I want to see college football. And I was watching Scott Frost, the head coach at Nebraska, his press conference, Nebraska being reportedly one of the two Big Ten programs.
A total mercenary. Yeah, we'll go 6-7 anywhere you want to put us.
Yeah, just put us anywhere. We're going to play. And I was nodding along as someone that wants to gamble on and watch college football, and he made the argument for health and safety using football.
Yes, it's amazing. It's crazy.
Well, that's what all the coaches, that's their argument. Nick Saban made the same one. Jim Harbaugh made the same one. They're all making the argument that, hey, playing college football in a controlled environment with coaches and doctors around is... you know, they're less likely to get sick in this environment than they are just going about their normal daily lives, you know?
Well, here's the thing about that, though, Stugatz, because, yes, I could actually form the argument. I can assemble the argument. Hey, if I allow these coaches to take even more freedom away from these players than they already do because the players are helpless... yes, maybe I can form the argument that these coaches can keep these players safe than if they return to impoverished neighborhoods, if they don't have testing, if they don't have doctors. There is, however, one numerical problem with that argument.
Right. And the data, it's not easy to find because no one's making them report this, right? But the University of Alabama making the health and safety argument. Well, at one point, they had positive cases in the teens. At one point, LSU had to quarantine 30 players.
Clemson
had 37 positive cases at one point. So when you're using, look, we have structure, we can take socioeconomically, we can put these players in a better place where they won't catch this virus. And it's Clemson telling me that. No, yes. If I walk past that Clemson weight room, I'll get it. You can't use that as an argument if you're Clemson.
All right, it's chaos, and we'll get to the meat of it in a second, because you've got Trump siding with young black labor. Hashtag we want to play is what he is tweeting, because politics, like on August 17th, ESPN wants to go to sports, playoffs start, sports, and politics keeps coming to sports because now you've got this weird thing where it's broken along political lines. And Stugatz, what I'm being told is because the ACC and SEC want to play so badly, they only need one other conference in order to actually get this off of the ground. I think the Big Ten ends today, even though James Franklin and Harbaugh are out there arguing. I think we're pretty obviously headed toward the Big Ten ending today, at least in part, because I know this part gets missed all the time, Stugatz, as people talk about, well, young people don't die. I mean, the Big Ten has had some athletes have heart issues because of this. And so are you willing to risk that to play college football? Are you willing to risk an athlete having heart issues for the remainder of his life? Because I think there were 5 Big Ten athletes who were shown to have heart issues.
It's also unknown as to whether or not they'll have it for the remainder of their lives. It's also unknown whether that is strictly, coincides with playing sports and athletics, how long it lasts for exactly. And that was part of it. The unknown. There's so much uncertainty and so much unknown with COVID-19 as it relates to everyone, not just athletes, that people are uncomfortable moving forward with a sport like football. But Dan, I will tell you from the kid's standpoint, I do believe this factors in. When you hear Trevor Lawrence and other prominent college football players saying they want to play, when you go to a college, when you go to a university, you play college football, you become friends with all the other athletes, okay? They know the importance of them playing a season because it helps their friends out who play spring sports. It helps their girlfriend out. It helps their friend out. It helps whomever out. And they know if they don't play, they're going to seriously affect those other sports and their friends.
That's all well and fine. I do find it funny that this is the one that we're willing to listen to the athletes on, not being compensated. This is the time when it aligns with our interests of wanting college football. Hey, the athlete's voice, it's important, and he cares about his friends, and so do I. No, you don't. You care about Colorado +9 against Colorado State, Stugatz. That's what you care about. You don't care about enlarged hearts. You don't care about health, coronavirus, the friends of Trevor Lawrence. You care about chasing the Hawaii rainbows on Saturday night.
Look at Danny Cannell's Twitter account. I was pleading with us, please listen to the players. And then once the players started laying the groundwork for a union, then we stopped
listening to the players. Cody, what do you have on this? Because I wanted to get into last night's Heat experience because there are a number of funny things from that. But what do you have on the subject that we're discussing? Because college football is teetering on the brink, and there are a number of fascinating elements here, not the least of which is, to me, I don't see anyone in charge. Like, it's just, is DeSantis in charge? Who the hell is in charge?
Yeah, Stugatz mentioned all the uncertainty and doubt, and you err on the side of caution. That's pretty obvious to me. And my barometer, with all due respect to Nick Saban, my barometer is always, what would Anthony Fauci say? And here's what he said. He said that for college football to be safe, it has to be played in an enclosed community. That doesn't include travel and airports and airplanes and hotels and other stadiums. And so there's an inherent risk that's undeniable. And that's just, you know, the head of the NFL Players Association called football a perfect storm for virus transmission. And he's right. It's the ultimate contact sport where we're not supposed to have contact. It's going to be impossible to play football without an inherent risk. And think, you know, the Big Ten right now is the adult in the room. The presidents are saying, you know what, we're going to have abundant caution here, even at the expense of revenue. I love that.
You say all of that, Greg, but the issue here, as you mentioned Fauci as a governor, the governors are discrediting Fauci. The White House is discrediting Fauci. All of this stuff has become a literal political football where the ACC and the SEC, by region, by state, are saying, yep, Georgia and Florida, bleep it. We're going and we're doing it no matter what. We don't care what the numbers show scientifically. We will discredit facts and scientists and more informed projections. This thing is so soaked in politics as politics and money in a way that's just mesmerizing. It's just politics and money. It is never laid this bare, Stugatz, in sports. The idea of, here's the cost on the human body. Here is the literal moneyed cost on, are you willing to risk the enlargement of your heart? How much does that cost me? Can I pay you in books? Can I pay you in education? Hey, kid, give me your heart. I'll give you a library card and some meals. It's rarely bare naked like this in front of you, Stugatz. It's just politics and money. And what about human decency? What about humanity? What about the literal human heart? So a tweeter writes in, Stugatz, typical Dan and his leftist pro-heart politics. Stick to sports, fatty.
Is that guy?
All right, man. I am. I'm pro the heart. I'm not. I am not afraid to say it. I think it's necessary. I think we should all have a functioning one. I am pro heart. I salute you, sir, for deciding, or madam, for deciding to plant your flag in being against the heart.
I don't understand, though. You are sticking to sports, Fatty. This is sports. It's just been mutated into a political discussion.
Well, literally, because, Stugatz, like, these are swing states that you need your politicians to give Ohio State football to the people who want to be made happier in their swing state by Ohio State football.
I know the president went to an Alabama game, and he's on the record. He's invited national championships to the White House and fed them McDonald's. But when he tweets out play college football, he is placating to a base of red states. And it is funny that the swing conference is one made up of swing states. Look, college football is a big time deal in Ohio and Michigan and Wisconsin, and these are states that vacillate between red and blue. If you miss out on watching your Buckeyes this season, you're going to be blaming everyone that's in charge. This might swing an election for certain people.
He stands with Justin Fields in terms of playing college football, but God forbid Justin Fields takes a knee before one of those college football games. How about that?
Yeah, that's part of the stuff that gets muddled here, and I probably should tell the audience here, as we continue to get more and more divided along political lines, along racial lines, along gender lines, that I'm not sitting here at this microphone pretending that I've got easy answers to these difficult questions. Like, I can absolutely assemble the argument for why right now is not the right time to have to make a decision on whether college football should evaporate. Like, I can assemble that argument, and I'm willing to listen to people who say so. I just think that the subject matter gets complicated and muddied, Stugatz, when there's this much uncertainty and I've got someone yelling at me for being pro-protecting the heart of the physical and actual heart of the athlete. I know you people don't care about their bodies, but now that heart, like, I get it. That heart is kind of important. And so when you get reports that scare Big Ten people, I understand why it is that many people would act selfishly, as sports fans do. Customers want what they want. And I want college football just like you want college football. But I don't have answers to questions as simple as this one, Stugatz. Brian Kelly has tested Notre Dame. He's gotten 500 tests that are negative and only 2 that are positive. So that sounds good. Unless you're one of the 2. So I don't know what the answers are to some of the things that are being asked now. And the thing about it is, neither does James Franklin, neither does Nick Saban, neither do all of these people who are leaders in front of us, but nobody's actually leading this thing.
Well, let's be very clear. Neither do the doctors. That's the largest point.
But they know more.
They know more, but one of the doctors is one of the lead doctors, University of Virginia, and he is saying that there is a heart condition associated with COVID-19, but he doesn't know the extent of it, and he doesn't know how long it will last, doesn't know if it will go away, and it's the unknown that scares him. It's the unknown that scares the doctor.
But Stugatz, so I would simply tell you this, as we weigh some of these ethical conundrums, make it your daughter playing lacrosse.
Right.
And now make it, I'm going to slightly increase these unknown odds, even though, yeah, maybe the heart stuff will go away. I don't know, though. You want to play lacrosse? Is it worth it to play lacrosse for maybe your daughter's heart is going to suffer something? Like, never mind the deaths associated with this. I understand many of you making the argument saying, hey, young people aren't likely to die. But are you okay, again, putting a price tag on the human heart? It's never this literal, Stugatz. It's never this literally a political football. It's never this literally about money. It's never this literally about how much for your daughter's heart. Seriously.
You took that to a very extreme place with my daughter's heart. I mean,
we are talking to a guy that's in a 14-day isolation because he went to a lacrosse tournament for his daughter.
Yeah, that was pre-heart condition information, though. I didn't know, you know, and now that I know, I regret doing that, to be honest with you.
Hold that thought. Let's sell some ads.
Cody, is your Back in My Day ready? Is it ready to go?
Yes.
All right. Yes. Excellent work.
I mean, he said yes.
Jesus Christ,
it took
Greg.
Him 5 seconds to find the unmute button.
Greg.
Yes.
Greg, that's your only contribution to that segment. Like, that's what you gave us, that segment. The inability to turn on your microphone.
I said yes. How many times can I say it?
You could say it a lot faster.
And clearer.
Quicker. You could say it more efficiently, better. It's a word. And you managed to bleep that up. It's a single word, and you managed to bleep up the entirety of the timing.
What if I just gave you a thumbs up?
How is it that you this consistently ruin everything we do around here?
Shockinger!
Practice.
I thought Tony La Russa was too old to be getting a tattoo. Put it on the poll, please, Anthony, at Levitard Show. Is 103 too old to be getting your first tattoo? Tweeter,
I mean, wasn't Rick Pitino 900 when he got his first one?
A tweeter writes in, well, as expected, a topic about college football. Dan Levitard makes it about race. Damn, ESPN, do you not have any shame? Hashtag race baiting at its best. Hashtag Disney.
Is that guy?
We will get to Greg Cody's Back in My Day in a moment, Stugatz. And we have to get into everything that happened with that Heat game last night that Stugatz was a part of front and center. But I just am always fascinated, Stugatz, and you know this, about the way that sports evolve and how quickly during our lifetimes here, just recently, basketball realized, everybody at the same time, whoa, that two-point shot we've been taking, super inefficient. Let's do threes. Let's do it that way. That's a better way to play. Everyone realized that at once. Baseball for a while now has been doing these shifts that make it very frustrating for me to what used to be a line drive up the middle for a single is now just always going right into the second baseman's glove because the science has evolved so much in that sport and the scouting. But not only has that evolution been something that happened recently enough in our time, the thing that is jarring to me about watching baseball now, it might be the most jarring thing for me. Growing up, when a dude hit an opposite field home run, it was a testament to that man's strength, and it was always some giant dude was the only guy who could do it. Now I'm watching baseball all the time, and I think it's a fly out to right field, and it goes 40 rows deep because everyone can go opposite field in a way that is just totally absurd and is the reason for these shifts because everyone's trying to yank the ball out of the park as hard as they can.
Oppo boppo. I mean, that's, you know, you're right. It used to be like, it used to be a big deal. It was only reserved for like the Greg Luzinskis of the world. And now it seems like you're right. The eight hitter on any team can do it. You're 100% right. It's frustrating. It's annoying. It used to be unique and now it's common. I mean,
it's just an evolution that happened very fast. Like that was baseball is slow to evolve. It took 100 damn years before it happened, but then it happened. They all realized at the same time, wait a minute. So I can take all four bases or I could do this one at a time and try and steal them and bunt and just really grind it out. Like, I could play this sport super constipated, or I could just have this wonderful nutritional system that is perpetually putting out 450-pound rocket shots to right field covered in feces.
Math changed all the sports at the exact same time. Certain sports for the better. I think it took football a little adjustment period, but now it's super fun watching guys like Patrick Mahomes just go deep and abandon the running game. But in baseball, maybe the math made it a worse product.
Then there are guys like Ricky Henderson, Dan, who can go oppo boppo. He can pull away and then also give you a swipe 100 bags. I mean, Ricky Henderson might be the greatest baseball player to ever live. When you really think about it and break it down, he might be the greatest all-around baseball player of all time. I ain't joking.
Put it on the poll at Levitard Show. Is Ricky Henderson the greatest baseball player of all time? Certainly a great deal of fun, but I'm guessing that the metrics probably don't support him being better than Mike Trout, given that when Ricky Henderson led off the game with a home run, we were all like, wow! And now every single guy in the big leagues can lead off a game with a home run.
he would bat third now, Ricky Henderson, right? Like, someone would have figured that out, correct?
I mean, I don't know. I've got to look.
Probably second. That's the way things are going now.
Yeah, I've got to look at his advanced metrics. He's a Hall of Famer by any definition, but I don't think a lot of people would be making the argument for best baseball player ever. Time now for Greg Cody's Back in My Day.
And now it is time to take a trip down memory lane. Here's your guy, Greg Cody, with Back in My Day.
Unmute your microphone, Greg. Please unmute your microphone. He can't even hear me. Oh, for
man,
the love
he's
of
really
God.
Searching for that unmute.
Oh,
for,
okay.
He put in the chat that he can't hear anything, so I don't know what's going on.
Oh, wait, right. He's unmuted, though.
Greg, you're unmuted. Oh, never mind. Let's just go to commercial. I tried. What did I just tell Mike? Let me figure out a way to get Cody involved in the show now. He's just staring at us. It's just so bad. It's unbelievable, Stugatz. Like,
Chunkier!
It's getting harder and harder every week to do this show with him.
I just noticed in the comment box, he did tell us lost audio can't hear, but before that, he sent yes! Exclamation point.
Best baseball player ever? Yes! Oh, you mean...
I love how he could hear the whole segment to contribute that. But then as soon as you tee up Back in My Day, gone.
All right.
No audio.
We will try to get this up and running in the next segment.
Maybe just having Greg in the chat room would be a better Greg, where he could just type things like, yes, we can react to him.
We could just read what he's saying. Now he's just left the room. It is unbelievable. Like, you couldn't be this bad on purpose. I'm telling you, you couldn't get in our way on purpose as well as he does every Tuesday by accident.
Pay that man his money.
I love him.
So just to recap, just so you understand, the first time he spoke on the show was to say yes, and now we can't even get that out of him, but we got yes. So far, in 45 minutes, we've gotten yes and yes out of him, and he's going to be paid for this appearance on radio. Yes and yes.
And yes was in the written form.
Yes.
In the comment box. How is this my fault? I can't hear anybody, but literally everyone else in the Zoom can hear, right? By a show of thumbs up. You can all hear, so yeah, it's on you, Greg.
Who else would you like us to blame it on? Greg Cody, you're the only one around your microphone. You're the only one. Oh, never mind. It's unbelievable. I mean, it's hard enough to do this show without him getting in the way of everything. All right, so this is made exceedingly difficult on Tuesdays by Greg Cody's general fossilization, but also because his Back in My Day, Stugatz, always starts with 7 to 8 seconds of Greg Cody look at me silence as he gears up and creates a great deal of expectation for everybody. He loves 6 or 7 seconds of silence before he starts. So I never know when going to him, whether he's there, whether he's doing dramatic effect. Do we know if Greg Cody right now can hear us? Because he doesn't look like he can hear us. Chris, help me out, because your dad is an albatross and an anchor. Put it on the poll, please, Tony. Is Greg Cody an albatross that weighs as much as an anchor, yes or no, on this radio show?
He can't hear you. I know that for a fact. He just wrote it again in the chat. He's back in the Zoom. He got out of the Zoom, got back in, thinking that might work, and he says he can still not hear us, so I have no idea what's
going
on.
All right, so I sort of did a mutated Back in My Day about Oppo Boppos. Back in my day, opposite field home runs were a thing that were special. Not anymore.
This may sound like really basic, but has he checked the volume?
Oh, who knows? I mean,
he says he has. He says he has. I just move on. I'll try to fix this next break.
All right. Well, do it in the next 4 minutes because he can't hear us and we need to get him on the hard network out. So get it fixed in the next 4 minutes so that we can have him back. What I would like is some permutation of the word yes or yaz that gets cut off at the end of the hard network out.
I had him in queue before, and when he came back in, I think I could hear him. So if we could relay a message as we approach that HNO to just be like, Greg, we can hear you. Just turn your microphone on and give us your best 30 seconds on blank. Then I think we can all just laugh about it.
Guys, we're all looking at the same Greg Cody. If there was ever a guy giving off a look of, I can't hear a word it is that you're saying, it is Greg Cody right now.
We've got 3 minutes to get his microphone fixed. In the interim, Anthony, put it on the poll. Kyle Kuzma hit a shot to win a Laker game yesterday on the poll at Lebatard Show. Kyle Kuzma, basketball player or Instagram model? Which, if you had to choose between the two of them and you had to describe Kyle Kuzma, which would you go with, professional basketball player or? And he said after the game, I would take big shots even if Jesus were guarding me, which is just a great quote, and also forgets that you got about a foot and a half on Jesus, Kuzma. Like, he wasn't, and he's in sandals.
Height advantage.
He's in sandals. Yeah, you got, of course. And it's J.J. Barea is taller than Jesus was.
I'm not even sure what Kyle Kuzma's answer would be to this poll.
At Lebatard Show, he hit the game winner last night. Why? Because everyone went with LeBron and Anthony Davis. Nobody had accounted for the idea. Nobody on the Nuggets had contemplated they're going to give the last shot to the Insta model. I want to get into last night, Stugatz. I want to get into the fun of Pacers and Heat. I also want to get into making fun of Mike Ryan because he has been hit with something that afflicts all sports fans who have become first-time parents. He can't get through halftime, Stugatz. Even on TJ Warren and Jimmy Butler and his beloved Miami Heat, he cannot get to halftime without falling asleep. And this is where sports fandom goes, if not to die, to get diluted. It's first time parents realizing, wait a minute, life is no bigger than this crying feces monster, because it'll be better when you get to share the games with your child. But in the moments of, I don't know, the first 18 months, this is where most sports fandom goes to die for first-time parents, or at least get diluted.
11-month-old, 8:30 halftime. You want me to stay up past that? What am I, Italian, eating on the streets of Rome? I got to get to bed.
Right. Imagine having two of those at once, Mike, because that's what I was dealing with when we first started out on the show. And my dad told me, just having one, he told me, you're going to miss like a decade of your life where you're just not going to see movies, entire sporting events, and it's going to be like the first 10 years of you having your first child. So we have that to look forward to with you as our executive producer.
Well, it's perspective that changes so much that oftentimes as it comes to sports fans who are parents, where they look up and they're like, this is the greatest blessing in the world. I love having a child. It's really hard. Also, how the hell did I ever care so much about sports? What the hell was the matter with me that I wasn't thinking about the importance of this crying feces monster, and instead I was paying attention to whether or not the Sacramento Kings had somebody in the All-Star game?
I was doing the whole checklist. Got the Postmates, caught up on Big Brother, put the baby to bed, and then I passed out.
We've got a functioning Greg Cody microphone, allegedly. Let's see. I see his microphone. Phone, it seems to be muted. Greg Cody, are you there and ready to speak to us?
I am. Yes, I am.
Oh,
I'm right here.
Love of God, Greg.
Wow. I'm right here.
Keep your microphone unmuted. Damn it. Like, honest to God, do the show right. Give us your thoughts on the Miami Heat, please. Last night, please.
Wow. That's an angry question by you.